Let's just pray. Lord, thank you for Josh. God, thank you for Josh. What a blessing him and his family is to this congregation and this city. And Lord, you've been digging a well in this man. And Lord, we just want to receive what you have been putting in him. And Lord, we just ask for the Holy Spirit just to draw out now that well that you've dug, that he's dug with you, Lord. And that you would draw now and just let words of life just flow. That would not just be words, but they would be spirit and life. In Jesus' name, we receive, Lord, you in Josh right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all. Feels like a fun family session here this morning. I love it. Real quick, during worship, when Margaret was just releasing that sweet praise song, Margaret, I saw this picture that happened yesterday when I was hanging out with Micah May. She was doing the wrong thing, as two-year-olds do. By the way, hold that thought. Micah's 2 years old today, so if you guys see her, give her a hug, bless her. Bless that two-year-old with all the blessing you can bless her with. It has been a wild morning. So anyway, we were hanging out, and there was this thing that was making music, and she kept on getting closer to it and closer to it because it's got a bunch of buttons and lights, kind of like a little karaoke machine. And I was like, Micah, no. And I finally got it nipped in the butt, right? And it was all good. And then like 5 minutes later, another friend comes along and jumps up. And I don't know what happened, but somehow that presence of another kid around 2 or 3 years old just made her lose her mind. She went over to that machine, blah, 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 just like no hesitation, no fear, started pushing all the buttons that I just told her not to push. And I was like, what in the world am I looking at that for? Because I'm supposed to be worshiping. And I realized that, Margaret, you were like that friend that fear has told a lot of people no for a long time. But when they get around you, something clicks in them. And it allows them to do all the things that fear was telling them not to do anymore. So y'all have some stuff going on that you need some breakthrough in. I just feel like Margaret, I've worshiped with her in big settings like this and in little living rooms. And just, I can tell you, if there's anything holding you back, she's like that friend that's going to be like, oh, no, you can do it. No, you can do it. You thought, no, you got this. You can do it. So Margaret, be encouraged. You are a good friend, and you defy fear everywhere you go. So that being said, Mike and Mace too. And oh, one other thing, I just want to go and let you know, if you hear any heckling as I'm preaching this morning, my grandfather is here visiting from Florida, so he promised to heckle me and give me some notes. So welcome, Pops. Come on. Hey, you know what? You might want to clap a little loud. If it wasn't for Pops and his decision to leave the Catholic Church when he was a teenager, I wouldn't be here today. So there was a strict vow of celibacy in those days. And thank you, Pops, for leaving the Catholic Church. I would not be here today. And I'm glad to be here. So thank you. Word from Pope Francis. And Martin Luther, okay, excellent. So that's it's a little joke we have, but it is so true. This morning I was kind of preparing and thinking through things, and at 6 o'clock in this morning, the Lord, I feel like it said, bring a mirror to put into the front row. And I was like, that sounds really weird. So I was like, Lord, what's that about? And I feel like he said, sometimes the most influential messages we speak are the ones that we need to hear ourselves. So you look really good this morning, by the way. Extra good now that there's this mirror on the front row. But does that speak true to you? Sometimes the message that carries the most weight is the one that you're walking through, or the message that you need to hear yourself. Somehow walking through it, somehow wading through those waters gives you a little extra to speak it into somebody else's life. And I just feel like that's kind of like where the Lord's had me lately, is just I need to hear what he's speaking. So know that there is a mirror here in this front row. And you know, if I say something you don't like, you can just be like, oh, Josh is talking to himself. That's not for me. That must be for the mirror. That's definitely not for me. So know that. I'm going to go to John chapter 11. If you guys have a Bible or a Bible app, we can go there. And, you know, it's so funny. I've been preparing and thinking. I was supposed to speak 3 months ago when Brennan was born. And I was on the schedule, and Brennan came a month early. That's my youngest son. He's 3 months old now. So that kind of got, you know, obviously put to the side. So I've been thinking for almost 3 months now, what am I going to share the Sunday that I'm back? And that is the worst thing for a personality like mine, because I want it to be the best. I want it to rock. I want to hear God clearly. I want to just, I don't want to waste your time. I definitely don't want to waste my time. And so I've had 3 months to do. So like week one, week two, month one, month three, I'm like, oh yeah, I got a word for the church. I got a word for the church. And then it's like, oh, nope, not here anymore. What happened to that word? Here we go again. All right, I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited. And I read something this week that I can't eat tomorrow's bread. Can't eat tomorrow's bread. And he says, you know, the Lord will provide, you know, give us this day our daily bread. How many preachers have you heard come up to to preach on Sunday morning and say, I had this really good word and God changed it on me this morning? And it happens a little bit more often than you would think it would happen. And I realize a lot of times that happens because they had a really good piece of bread the day before. And they really thought that piece of bread was going to be for tomorrow, but that was that day's bread. And you wake up in the morning and you have a plate ready for God to fill again because you have a new word for that day. So I was like, all right, Lord, I don't want to give the people yesterday's bread. I really want to hear a word for today. And I think that's true for all of us, right? The scriptures say we faith comes by what hearing, right? Not having heard. So this is constant desire. Our church is very excited about hearing the voice of God. But I can't live tomorrow on today's grace. I can't pray tomorrow's prayers. I can't eat tomorrow's bread. So I'm just asking, Lord, that today, what I have to share, what you've put on my heart this morning, and I just ask, Lord, that it would be food for your people, whether it's food of encouragement, whether it's food of just inspiration, food of just courage. I don't know, Lord. Whatever you want to do this morning, I just pray, Lord, that they would see you in another way. Like the saints around your throne saying, holy, holy, holy. I pray that there would be a new holy spoken this morning because we see you in a different way today, Lord. Pray, Lord, that we would see your goodness from a different perspective, Lord. Thank you for your word, and I thank you for your presence here, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your voice. If I say something, all of a sudden your mind starts wondering, go ahead. I love that. I love it when somebody's speaking, and next thing I know, I'm like, I've checked out. That person's talking, and like the Lord just took me on a trail, and I start writing in my notes. You ever been there before? I pray that happens because I know the Lord's got a lot more important things to say directly to you than I could in a whole group. So, you know, be aware of that. If I say something and you're like, oh, wow, that just really resonates, and next to, you're on this little trail with the Lord, don't smack yourself on the hand. It's okay. It's like, go down that trail. It's totally good. And let him speak to you. But we're going to, in John chapter 11, like I said, this is a popular story, the story of Lazarus. And I've just been reading this. And did you ever realize that it's a pretty big chapter. It's like 50 something, almost 60 verses. It like starts with the Lazarus story, and then it goes into like Jesus getting preparing for crucifixion. You guys, I didn't realize all that was happening in one chapter. So it's a whole lot more symbolism there than I even thought. I knew it was symbolic, but I didn't realize it was like happening at the exact same section of scripture. So anyway, you all know the story, but I just want to highlight some things from the story today that I felt like would encourage us, and it would encourage me as I look into the mirror. There was a man in Bethany named Lazarus, and he became ill. Bethany was the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with myrrh and wiped his feet with her hair. Lazarus, who was ill, was her brother. So the sisters sent messages to Jesus. Master, they said, the man you love is ill. When Jesus got the message, he said, this illness won't lead to death. I'm going to make a note of that. This Jesus' words, there's a quote there. This illness won't lead to death. Right? I know we've all known the story and we know what happens, but imagine hearing that, not knowing the story. This illness will not lead to death, Jesus says. It's all about the glory of God. The Son of God will be glorified through it. The word through there is really important, I feel like, for our walk as believers. So powerful verse there, verse 4. This illness will not lead to death. It's all about the glory of God. The Son of God will be glorified through it. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha. This is another one of those verses, Paul's right here. You ever, there's some verses where you read it, and you read it, and you think you know how it's going to end, but it doesn't end the way you think it's going to end. This is one of those verses. I'm going to read it the first time the way I think it's going to end, okay? Maybe you guys do too. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard this, that he was ill, he got up right away and went to him. That's how I would have finished that, right? Like, that makes, anybody else? It makes sense, right? It's like he loves them. When my loved ones are sick, I'm like, okay, pack the kids up, we gone. So I read this, and I've read it three times. And every time I've read it out loud, I like laugh, because it's the exact opposite of what I would expect the verse to say. So I'm going to read it the right way this time. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he stayed where he was. To begin with, for 2 days. Were you expecting that little curveball? Like, I read that and I was like, he loved him so much. I love Mary. I love Martha. Oh, I love Lazarus. I'm so sadly sick. I think I'm going to hang out here for 2 more days and see what happens. Like, what? Like when things like that happen, I'm laughing, but I realize there's something there that I need to get. You ever read scripture like that? It's like, okay, that kind of hit me weird. Kind of like, wait there for a second. We'll come back to all these things, but I just kind of, I want you to trek with me as I'm trekking through this chapter. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Teacher, replied his disciples, the Judeans were just trying to stone you not long ago. Not long before that, he had made this declaration that the Father, that God was his Father, and basically they wanted to stone him for blasphemy. And now he's like, okay, let's go. We need to go back to Judea now. And they're like, I don't think that's a good idea. And they say, surely you don't want to go back there. And then he says this really cool, it's almost like a little riddle almost. There are 12 hours in the day, aren't there? Replied Jesus. If you walk in the day, you won't trip up because you'll see the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, they will trip you up because there is no light in them. When he said this, Jesus added, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. Master, replied the disciples, if he's asleep, he'll be okay. Right? You guys with me? He's like, if he's asleep, why do we got to go? Verse 13, they thought he was referring to ordinary sleep, but Jesus had, in fact, been speaking of his death. You guys remember the first verse was at 4? This illness will not lead to death. Remember that? So then verse 14, then Jesus spoke to them plainly. Lazarus, he said, is dead. I thought you just said 2 days ago this wasn't, you know, you just said he was sleeping, and 2 days ago you said this isn't going to lead to death. You guys ever get that way with the Lord? Like, you're hearing God and it's like not clicking. Like, what? Did I hear that right? You know, come on, we're a prophetic church. We've heard these things, but we're like, this is weird. So anyway, actually, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes. It will help your faith. But let's go to him. Somehow that delay was actually profiting their faith. It's a beautiful thing there. Again, that hilarious thing earlier, Jesus brings it full circle. Now I'm glad I wasn't there because this is going to help your faith. This is another really funny thing. Thomas, whose name was the twin, addressed the other disciples. Let's go too, he said. We may as well die with him. That's what he says. Let's go too. We may as well die with him. So when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Judeans had come, Mary and Martha, to console them about their brother. I think I'm going to stop right there and just unpack some of this right now, because I think you know some of the rest of the story. But isn't that, when you read it out loud, you kind of see, sometimes you get in that flow of like, oh, I know the story of Lazarus. And you're just like, ah, whatever. But it's like, looking into it, there's some really funny little nuggets. And I don't normally teach like this. Normally, Lord just kind of like goes through my life and shows me some stuff. And then I teach that way. But the Lord actually brought me to this scripture this week. And this morning woke me up with it and just started unpacking some of this stuff. And I hope this is fresh bread to you all this morning. And the first thing I want to say from that verse is that when Jesus says this illness will not lead to death, it's true. Right? It's true. But if you read verse 14, there's something that's going to question, something within you that's going to be like, what? You guys ever have things like that when you get a word, a good word from God? You know the law of gravity is true, right? You see things fall all the time. You think you drop something, and then all of a sudden something comes with a curveball like a balloon with helium in it. And you're like, what? I know, you guys with me? Like, we have those things in the spirit that happen a lot. We have this word from God, and it's true. We can take it to the bank. It's good. But all of a sudden we have something like this, where all of a sudden this word I had from God is this sickness will not lead to death, and all of a sudden he dies. The helium balloon comes up in our lives. You guys ever, you guys trekking with me? That helium balloon hits you in the face. Like, I thought God said this, but the helium balloon, the law of gravity says things don't fall, but all of a sudden, things will fall, but all of a sudden the helium balloons, that's not supposed to happen because I have this word. Guys, you hanging with me? Okay, good deal. I feel like sometimes my mind's so juvenile because I do a lot of teaching with the kids. I'm like, is this like connecting or am I just too silly here? So think about that in your life. There are going to be helium balloons. You have a word from the Lord, and there's going to be something that is going to make you say, I thought I heard a word from the Lord. But the key word here is this sickness will not lead to death. And then it says at the end of that verse 4, he will be glorified through it. And the word the Lord was speaking to me is where this illness was heading to was not death. It led to resurrection, but it had to go through death. You guys with me? That sickness led through death, but it didn't lead to death. It came out death on the other side with a beautiful image of what was going to happen with Jesus. It ended with tremendous victory. Like I said, this story keeps on going right on through to where Jesus was crucified, where Jesus was resurrected. This story began here, and it began with a word that said, this is not going to end in death. But what's going to happen through it? The Son of God will be glorified through it. And I'm thinking personally, I'm in this fun time with Braxton and Noah. They're 13 and 14 now. And I got words for these kids when they were like 5. Braxton's word was boldness, and he gave me a whole paragraph for my son. And then Noah's word was 5, and I got a word for him. It was sensitivity. And it was all this beautiful paragraph of how he was going to be sensitive to God, and Braxton was going to be bold for God and all this stuff. And I'm in this, I'm in the season right now of the helium balloon. Amen. Can I get an amen, parents? Anybody else have some helium balloon children? You got his word, and all of a sudden, it's not going the way it's supposed to go. And I realized that the helium balloon isn't where it's going to. It's just the place that it's going through. And the Lord just reminded me of that this morning. Begin to speak to the helium balloons in your life, the word that God gave you. Because where you are right now is not the place that the story ends. A better word has been spoken. A better promise has been given. And that was some of the bread the Lord gave me this when I was just like, yes. So You know, I'm one of those teachers, I love to hit it from every angle that I can, you know. I give you the kid angle. You know, sometimes the promise that God will give you, it might bring you through pain, but it's not leading you to pain. There's something really beautiful on the other side of that. It might bring you through some opposition, but it's not bringing you to it. And this story has just opened my heart up to that in such a new way. I've been so encouraged to keep on fighting the good fight of with my children at 13 and 14 years old. I'm probably about to begin the fight all over again with Micah as she turns 2. I'm telling you, I think 2 is the helium, the official helium balloon stage, and then they go through a second official helium balloon stage around 13 or 14. But I know I have a good word for all of my kids, and I know you all have a good word from the Lord that he's bringing you to, and don't be discouraged by the through. The other thing I was reading in this right here was that funny passage where Jesus says, I love Martha, and I love her sister, and I love Lazarus, and I'm going to stay right where I am for 2 days. Like, why did that hit me funny? Why did that strike me? Everything in me would want to get up, go, and run. And I realized, though he loved them, that does not, I mean, he loves these people. He loves them. It says it very clearly. Jesus loved Lazarus, loves Mary, loves Martha. But their circumstances did not hurry him. The only thing that made a schedule for Jesus was the glory of his Father. The glory set the schedule. And I have to live that way in my life. God's glory has to set my schedule. That can be painful at times. You might get ridiculed at times. Not long ago, before Micah was born, Brittany and I made a decision for her to stay home. We prayed about it, and we felt the Lord was saying, stay home. That made absolutely no sense. You know, I love my security. I love the fact that her job as a teacher came with insurance. So when we made that decision, we felt like the Lord was saying one thing. We lost a salary. We lost an insurance. We gained a baby and another baby now. And my need was driving my decisions. My need was kind of driving, it was driving me into the ground, really. We got some ridicule. People very close to us said, I wish I could stay home, my kids. I mean, just all this, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You just hear all of this going, and it's like, we had a word. We really felt like it was the Lord. And I realized, here we are, however many, 2 years later, 2 years, 3 months later, however many years, and she hasn't gone back to work, and she's been doing a phenomenal job teaching the children's ministry and using her gift for the kingdom in the curriculum of our children's ministry and being able to be home with Micah and with Brennan and be able to be there for the boys when they're home. Again, it was the glory. It was glory made the decision. Me seeing that the Father is glorified through this. A way was made. Doesn't make any sense. Just like this verse, it doesn't make sense. So if there's things in your life and it's like, this doesn't make any sense to everything natural within me, allow the glory of God to make that schedule. Allow the glory of God, the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom, right? Look at the situation through the lens of the kingdom. You know, I'll get so guilty of looking through the lens of 401ks and the lens of prosperity or the lens of even what might be a good decision at the time. It's like, no, I got to look at the glory, the lens, because that's what this verse right here says. It's all about the glory of God, verse 4. The Son of God will receive glory through it. And then he goes on to say that funny thing to me, that he was not hurried by man's need. He allowed glory to set the schedule. So take that. I hope that it encourages you in anything that you are walking through today. And then the other really funny, cool thing was, I'm going to have to do like a little adaptation here because I had a really good example of this, is it seemed like Jesus was delayed. It seemed like there was a prayer and Jesus didn't show up, right? Mary and Martha actually sent message. You guys ever sent a message to Jesus and he didn't show up when you wanted him to? You ever sent word to the Lord in prayer and he didn't come through at the right time? You ever say something to this effect, God, where are you? And it gets kind of frustrating. And then whatever school of thought you're in, it might be this idea that, you know, well, part of prayer, I just got to just buckle down, and this is part of the discipline of my spiritual faith, and I just got to get it. And, you know, I don't like it, but I just, you know, silence is just part of maturity in God, and I just got to, all these weird things that we do. And the Lord began showing me the beauty of his silence, the beauty of his delay in my life. And he did that by looking at a song. And how you know in songs, there's a couple of really popular songs. There was this like epic pause in the song. You know, I'm going to play one here in a second, but you know the song about Third Day, Agnes Day, Dei, however you pronounce it. And all of a sudden it's like building, building, building. And then there's this like epic drum snare pop and it's quiet. And then it comes back in. Holy, you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like, you don't know what I'm talking about? Oh gosh, okay. The next example I'm gonna give you is one that I'm sure you will trek with. The whole point is the pause is part of the music. It's written in the sheet music. It is an intentional pause and it is beautiful. And the work wouldn't be the work that it was had the pause not been there. So instead of being this, oh my gosh, where is God? Hold on, this is it. This is probably the most epic pause of all time. And I want you to remember this next time there's a delay. You feel like the Lord's not coming through. Here it is, just trek with me here. Did you feel that? The pause, man. The pause. That pause was like, And the whole time, the Lord speaking to me, the pauses in your life are beautiful. The pauses in your life provide for you something that would not have happened had the pause not been there. That lyric hit you in a way that it wouldn't have hit you had they just gone right into it. God is so good and so beautiful and so aware of what you need that he builds pauses into your life for you to enjoy what he's doing through you so much more than you would have if he'd have been like, okay, here you go, here you go, here you go, here you go. No. It is a Whitney Houston power ballad of Jesus in your lives when there's a pause. Be encouraged. He is, and the longer the pause, the longer the suspense, the longer the holdout. For a second there, I was about to go check it, but I was like, oh my gosh, I must have lost signal because this is taking way too long. Boom. And I was starting to get worried, like my example is falling apart up here. But that's what's going on. Like Jesus has these beautiful pauses, these beautiful delays. So thank him. Thank him for the delay. Thank him because he's good. He's always been good. He always will be good. I used to not, but now I love the delay in my life. I love the delay in my prayer with the Lord. Because I know that when the breakthrough happens, it's going to be so sweet and it's going to be so special. And I don't have to question whether it's going to happen because I have a good word that this thing isn't going to end the way it looks right now. And I know that he's going to show up and he's going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And we're going to see a dead man walk out of a grave and we're going to realize, oh my gosh, it led me through death. But it didn't lead me to death. It led me through pain, but it didn't lead me to pain. And sometimes the delay of that pain process is a little longer than it's comfortable to us. And sometimes the delay of the death process is a little bit kind of wearing on our faith a little bit. And sometimes the delay in our children's walk with him is a little bit longer and grueling than we really like it to be. But we know when the Lazarus come forth moment happens, we'll hear the song of a father being sung and his delight being declared in our lives. So there is some John 11 for you. That's all the notes I really have for today. You all, I didn't want to go too long, but I do want to pray. I do want to pray specifically for that just revelation of his goodness in the delay. For the revelation of his goodness. Is that good? Are you good? All right, we're going to pray. If you have the courage to thank him for the delays, maybe right now, if anybody, as we're praying, wants to share a testimony maybe of a delay that was just, when he spoke, it was even more beautiful than had it happened right away. I would love to hear that because I feel like that's part of what we do, is encourage each other by the way we've experienced the Lord. So I'm just going to pray. I'm going to invite the Lord. If any of you just get something, please feel free to share it. Just raise your hand and we'll get a chance to encourage each other with the Whitney Houston songs of our lives. So Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the beautiful delays that I can look at in my life and realize that on the other side of that delay was a beautiful moment that you created just for me. Thank you for those moments you've created for all of us in this room. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you for your sovereignty and your perfect timing in the answer to our prayer, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the good word that we have from you. And even though we're walking through times where the helium balloon is going up and everything is telling me that it is wrong, Lord, you have a good word. And you are bringing us to that good word. I pray, Lord, that there would be a tremendous joy in that season of delay. I pray, Father, there would be tremendous joy in that season of silence. Because we know there's a song coming. There's a song building. There's a testimony building. There is a word about to be spoken. There is a miracle that's about to happen. A breakthrough that's about to break. So we were praying. Anybody have something they feel like they would like to share? Encourage the rest of us with Heather. Awesome. Oh, I love how you're like, I don't want to, but I know God told me to.
Well, I knew it was the Lord because it came to my mind a few minutes ago, and I was sitting there just remembering the goodness of the Lord. And then right after that, you said, if anyone had a testimony. And I was like, okay, I think I was supposed to. But we had a time, Paul and I, before we had kids, and we had felt like the Lord had told us to make a major change. And we both left our jobs and went to ministry school together. And we knew we heard from the Lord. And then Paul has shared it before when he got up there. But we had an extended season where, I mean, we were working our tail off. We're going to school, working at the grocery store across the street from our place. I mean, we were doing everything we could. And we're like, where's the Lord? Where are you, Lord? Like, we got to a point where we thought, okay, I'm starting to make peace with, I mean, we're going to lose the car. We might get put out of our apartment because we have no more money. We have none. I mean, we were like, Lord, what are we going to eat today? And just pushed to a brink where I remember laying on the floor of this apartment with no furniture and screaming at the Lord, you said to do this, and where are you? And then I felt like I started to work through some of the stuff, issues I had about money I didn't know I had. I would have told you I didn't have hang-ups on until I was pushed to the brink of, what are you going to eat today? And then an envelope comes in the mail We had been approved for a scholarship months and months ago. Somebody had said they wanted to support us months ago, and the address was wrong. The address was wrong. All of these checks for like months and months and months of support showed up on one day. I guess, do you know when we got word that we got this scholarship? My birthday. Wow. And I never would have known, I never would have worked through some of this stuff that I had in my heart, I didn't know was in my heart, if I hadn't got to the point where I was laying on the ground yelling at the Lord, having a hissy fit. I never would have known the goodness of the Lord, like, give us this day our daily bread, if I had not been in a place where I was like, Lord, what are we going to eat today? I'd never been in that place in my life before. And I mean, we got to a whole new level being able to trust the Lord. And then to have it show up on my birthday and feel personally acknowledged by the Lord, like, I've seen you. I've seen you, Heather, and I'm good. But that pause was like part of, I think, why we were in the school of ministry. That was my school of ministry right there.
Heather, when you were talking, I'm reading this verse. I'm going to reread this verse through the Heather Noble translation, where it says, verse 15, actually, I'm glad that the address was wrong for all those months so that it would help your faith. Where Jesus says, you know, I'm glad that we weren't there when it happened. I'm so glad that the address was wrong, because more than I wanted to take care of your financial needs, I wanted your heart. And I wanted you to know how special you were.
Can't believe the Lord's having me share this. I'm like, you really want me to share this? And he's like, yeah, because you got breakthrough on this. And that's what, kind of what Josh was talking about. So, okay. So this summer, I was in a massive battle in regards to my housing situation. And it happened right when I had gotten out of the hospital, and I pretty much been slapped with an eviction notice out of the blue. So I wasn't sure what to do, but I prayed, and from there I kind of fought. And I actually did, in the process, I did a couple of couple of prophetic acts that the Lord had led me to do. Travis was part of one of those. But the weird thing was, and he was like, you know, because the old me would be like, be telling everybody, be like, I need help. You know, I'm in the process of losing my apartment, whatever. And the Lord's like, nope. Like, even my parents wanted to step in, and God's like, nope. He's like, I'm pulling them back. So on the day that I actually and to be, per se, evicted, I work with the kids. And the story that day is the Battle of David with Goliath. I'm like, all right, God, so you're lining this up. So the eviction day passes, and I'm still here. And I'm like, and it's like I'm in that waiting moment, like you're saying, like, am I going to get hit, you know, after the eviction day? And finally, I get a call from the lawyer that I have been working with, and he called me and signed the papers, and he said, you're good to go. And everything got worked out, but it's like my heart was on the edge every single day, and I was staying in the place of obedience, doing what God had told me to do. So to put his stamp of approval on it, when I got the final papers from the lawyer, he had me write, it is finished. So I'm here to stay. I'm not going anywhere. So that was my breakthrough.
Yeah. I love it. That is so good. Again, it's so much more than just the financial issue. It was a different inroad to your heart that the Lord was after. It's so good. And yeah, sometimes the pauses are 2 days like we just read, and sometimes they're seven. I mean, the Old Testament's a pretty long pause between what we see in Genesis and what we see with Jesus. So he's after so much more than just your bank account and your house. He's after you. And you'll see at the end, when all the needs are met, you realize he was getting your heart the whole time. He's so good. He's so good. He's mending relationships, like you were saying. So much more. Every miracle that we see Jesus do, there was so much more that took place in those miracles than just a leper getting healed or blind eyes getting open. Relationships were being restored. Human beings were being made human again. So it's really beautiful. So homework this week, everybody go listen to Whitney Houston and have a good cry fest. And I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I don't get to be here as much as I'd like to. I'm back in the back hanging out with the children, and we're having a great time. But I love the opportunity to share with. I call you all the Big Kids Church, by the way. So if your kids ever say, you know, Josh has got to do Big Kids Church, he's talking about you all. Y'all are the Big Kids Church. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the pauses, and thank you for the amazing song that we get to hear at the end of the pause too. So be blessed. I'm done.